Michael Graham is online and on demand.
On demand.
Weekdays 9 to noon on Boston's Talk Evolution. 96.9 WTKK.
Under the outstanding leadership of Mr. Frank Raines, everything in the 1992 Act has worked just fine. In fact, the GSEs have exceeded their housing goals. What we need to do today is to focus on the regulator, and this must be done in a manner so as not to impede their affordable housing mission, a mission that has seen innovation flourish from desktop underwriting to 100% loans.
The cause is reckless deregulation.
It's 9:40. I am Michael Graham. That was Maxine Waters pointing out the whole story inadvertently. That was her in 2004 saying, don't re-regulate Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Don't stop them from buying up these subprime loans, every subprime loan that was offered. Don't stop them from underwriting and helping mandate fundamentally risky loans. Don't do it. Keep them lending. Well, we did. And now we are where we are. Back in 1995, someone pointed out that banks are knowingly approving risky loans in order to get the feds and activists off their backs. When the coming wave of foreclosures rolls through the inner city, which of today's self-congratulating bankers, politicians, and regulators plans to take the credit? Who said that? That was Jeff Jacoby. Fantastic column in the Boston Globe Democrat yesterday. Jeff, welcome back to 96.9.
Thank you, Michael. Great to talk to you.
Happy New Year. I know it's a little early, but
that's right. And a happy one to you and your listeners, too.
Thank you very much. You guys got to get rid of that Yom Kippur thing, though. I mean, Rosh Hashanah is terrific, but sitting around being mournful for a day, that's the, although I guess we're having our own Yom Kippur up down in D.C. in Wall Street, aren't we?
Well, you know,
the sins of the past.
My Yom Kippur, which will begin 10 days from tonight, mm-hmm. is designed to bring about atonement. But I don't know that what they're doing in Washington is going to atone for anything. Barney Frank certainly doesn't sound like he's ready to atone for his sins.
Here's why I am seething with rage about this bailout, Jeff. It doesn't include the one sentence that an atonement would require, which is, we are getting out of the subsidizing loan business. We've learned our lesson. This is stupid. Banks can just lend money to people who they want to lend money to.
You know, I think anybody who assumes that, generally speaking, a free market will tend to behave wisely and will be self-correcting and will have discipline that will keep it from going too far off the rails would have recognized back at the beginning of all this that if you start having government policies that are intended to push lenders to make money available to people who don't meet normal creditworthiness standards, that you're going to end up with trouble. But okay, let's say that a lot of people who make policy aren't free marketeers and they don't tend to look at things the way Adam Smith does. You would think that after all these years and after seeing how much has gone wrong, that they would be inclined to say, first, you know, these really are the words that you got to say if you want atonement. We're sorry.
Right.
You know, we made a mistake and there were terrible, terrible, unintended negative consequences that we simply didn't anticipate. And that they would recognize that whatever they're going to do in Washington this week is going to have more unintended negative consequences. You know, I don't know what they're going to be, but I have no doubt that just as when the government comes stomping in with its great big galoshes into the housing market and insists that lenders start changing the rules that they've always operated by, bad stuff ensues. I'm just sure that when they come stomping in with their big galoshes this week, more bad stuff is going to be set up to ensue down the road.
You know, nothing's more depressing for me on a weekend, Jeff, than to read a great Jeff Jacoby column, because it reminds me of how mediocre my work has been as of late. But my jaw dropped when I was reading your piece yesterday and read, a manual issued by the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston advised mortgage lenders to disregard financial common sense. Quote, lack of credit history should not be seen as a negative factor.
Close How about quote, that?
The Fed's guidelines. So what should lack of credit history be seen as? A positive factor?
It's really
an aperitif? A side dish?
You know, the Boston Fed, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, was actually a big player and an early player in this whole game that got the drive to lower lending standards rolling. Back in, I think it was 1991, maybe 1992, the Boston Fed issued this report. I can remember, you know, I was working at the Boston Herald back then, and I went down and went up to the 30th floor, whatever it is, of the Federal Reserve Building to meet with Richard Syron, who was then the president of the Boston Fed. He subsequently became, if I'm not mistaken, the president of Freddie Mac. And listened to him lay out this report that the Boston Fed had just done, in which they showed that minorities who applied for mortgages were being denied at, you know, X percent higher rate than whites who applied.
Right.
And the clear implication was these lending decisions are being made on the basis of racial considerations. When you went through those numbers, at least in their first report, you realized that it didn't include things like net worth or employment history or, you know, the debt burden or the credit records. It was simply looking at the racial numbers.
Right. Exactly. In other words, if you took these lenders and stripped out the race so that the borrowers, so that the lender didn't know what the people who wanted the loan looked like, they never would have gotten the loan based on the math.
And for the most part, when someone does apply for a mortgage, you don't know what color they are, what race they are. Mm-hmm. There is no box that you check off unless the government's requiring it to indicate what the race is. But this is how, you know, the whole thing was fueled, that there is a racial problem, there's a discrimination problem, there's a bigotry problem, and we the federal government are going to push lenders to rectify it. And so, you know, banks and mortgage lenders found themselves, it was both a push and a pull thing. There was a push in many cases. They felt the push from the government to increase the numbers of mortgages that they were making, in urban neighborhoods and minority neighborhoods and low-income neighborhoods. So that was the push. And part of it goes all the way back to the Carter administration when this thing called the Community Reinvestment Act was first passed. There was also the pull. Federal organizations, federally chartered businesses like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac started letting it be known that they would buy up mortgages that were made even with lower standards than had usually been the case. And when entities as big as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac start weighing in to the business, it becomes almost impossible, at least for many lenders, not to be attracted to making those kind of loans. So all the more credit to those who didn't do it and to those whose portfolios are perfectly sound today. But an awful lot of banks and an awful lot of lenders, you know, countrywide perhaps being the biggest non-bank lender, got sucked into it. And, you know, bad marks to everybody all around. But the idea that Barney Frank is lecturing everybody that this was all caused by the private sector and it's the government that's going to have to come to the rescue now, that really just makes the gorge rise.
Yeah, it really does. And the private sector got us into this mess. I keep asking someone to explain to me how the private sector got us into this mess. What the private sector did is they responded to the offer by these government-backed entities. No matter how bad the subprime loan is you make, we will buy it from you, guaranteed.
And as voices started being raised over the past 10 or 15 years saying, whoa, this is dangerous. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac are riding for a disaster, including the Bush administration, which, 5 years ago tried to roll out this big reform. You had people like Barney Frank saying, there's no crisis, there's no problem. What's important here is that, continued expansion of home ownership. It was guys like him who basically stood in the breach and prevented any kind of reform from taking place.
So why should we, the people listening to 96.9 WTKK right now, listening to Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe Democrat, why should we trust these people with $1 trillion of our wealth?
An excellent question. And, it's not one that I can give a good answer to. I hear, the line, even among the skeptics and the critics in Washington today seems to be, it's going to be a big problem and we're really dubious about it, but we got to do something.
Right.
I don't claim to be the world's smartest guy. That would be you, Michael. I don't even think to be in the top, the top 10. But when policy is made on the basis of we got to do something, that just tells you that there's going to be huge problems, when we turn the corner.
Just got to do something is the worst sentence to come out of a government's mouth. The Dow, by the way, is down 200 points right now with this bailout on its way. Banks are still failing in Europe. Wachovia is still in trouble here in the United States. There's a very good chance, Jeff, that 2 weeks from now, we could have dumped $1 trillion in promises and money and then still be in a horrible condition.
And yet, I would never underestimate the resilience of the market, even when it's gotten itself into a mess like this one.
Right.
You have somebody like Warren Buffett, who stepped up last week with $5 billion to weigh in. I see a story this morning about private equity firms like Bain
that
want to get a piece of this action, want to buy up some of these mortgages. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that I am no financial genius, but I'm not sure that I buy the notion that the that the money is so frozen up and credit markets are so paralyzed that there's no way that the market can possibly respond to the imbalance that's taken place, and that if the government doesn't weigh in with a $1 trillion package, that we're all going to go to hell in a handbasket.
And I don't buy in when Nancy Pelosi says this is not a bailout, it's a buy-in. If it's such a good deal, if we're getting bottom basic prices,
put some of the Pelosi family fortune into it.
Exactly right. If it's such a good deal, then private money would rush in and fill the gap and say, man, these $400,000 loans we made on small shacks in Roxbury are great deals. Let's just jump on this.
And if so, let private money rush in.
Absolutely.
And make a killing on it.
One last question. How can it be the case that the mainstream media, or excuse me, the partisan press, it used to be the mainstream media, now they're the partisan press, can continue to not cover the government's role in this? I hear about it constantly on talk radio and from some media outlets like National Review and others. But you pick up the Globe, the Times, the Post, nobody is going back to the Barney Frank, Franklin Reigns era and showing what you showed in your column yesterday.
You know, it's funny. Last week, Bill Clinton was on, was it Good Morning America?
One of those shows, right.
One of those morning network programs. And whoever it was, Matt Lauer, or whoever the host was saying to him, quoting from a story that the Times had written back in, I think, 1999, during the Clinton administration, saying the story then said Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are moving to lower their standards even more, and they're taking on a lot of risk, and people are worrying that this might lead to disaster. And he said to Bill Clinton, was he right? Do you agree with that? And Clinton's honest answer, at least the first sentence out of his mouth, was an honest, in light of what's happened, I'd have to say that's true.
Right.
Now, if Bill Clinton can say it, I don't know why everybody can't.
Well, because then that would bring us to the conclusion we need to get out of the subsidized loan business altogether, which no one can do because no one can say no.
Problem. If this were a court case, and if a judge before whom a case like this was being brought had the kind of history and the kind of fingerprints all over it that people like Barney Frank have, the judge would be expected to recuse himself.
Absolutely.
And to say, I've got too big a history with this, I can't possibly make an impartial and objective decision now. Somehow, when it comes to legislation, when it comes to Congress and what Washington does, the very people who helped create the mess are the ones who were entrusted with with having the wisdom to get us out of it.
I would say only in America, but that's
not true. That's the way it works.
Exactly. Every socialized country is run this way, isn't it, Jeff Jacoby?
You know what Churchill said? Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other ones.
The Dow's only down 236 points. Boy, that was a great bailout program. I'm glad we voted on that. Jeff Jacoby, the Boston Globe Democrat, the only thing worth reading in the Boston Globe Democrat. Thanks so much for joining
us. Thank you, Michael.
I appreciate it. 617-822-1969, #969 for our Verizon Wireless customers. Our poll question of the day: which of the following best describes the Wall Street bailout plan, which will be passed by the House this morning, by the Senate on Wednesday, signed into law by President Bush? Is it A, a crap sandwich? That's what Representative John Boehner called it. B, it sucks? That's Congressman Paul Ryan. C, it's a good plan, Representative Barney Frank. D, it's not a bailout, it's a buy-in, Nancy Pelosi. Or bleep!
Thanks for downloading and listening to Michael Graham. Come back often. Boston's Talk Evolution, 96.9 WTKK, is online and on demand.